market most around here. They told him nobody's going to celebrate for 3 or 4 days. He will get the price up. And in them 3 or 4 days, this foreman that was working for him, he shipped a lot of grape out to beat him to the destination place. And he said, all right, let's everybody sell. He already had some in route.
Sure. But all those things, you know, get back to the... they come back, you know, to hunt. So, like, there's cutthroat competition, so I'm sorry.
I was saying about prices before, we can compare prices, average prices for grapes in all of the, you know, 37 cities that we get daily reports from. So it's a lot of work, but I wonder if it would be meaningful. You can compare the actual wholesale prices.
I think right now we are talking about tactics and how to put more steam in the boycott. Which means right away means more people.
Yep.
That means some real tough political positions for us here in the union to make.
Well, one question I want to ask. I heard that Larry Dillon was on his way today to go where? All over the country?
I don't
know. No. Huh? Did you say he was going?
Yeah, he's gonna visit.
Now, who's sending him down there?
No one.
Well, I mean, I think that's a waste of time, you know, because in the first place, you don't know shit about boycott to begin with. Secondly, what is he going to do over there?
Larry who?
Well, over. I mean, I really do think that's, you know, what is it? I mean,
he's going to a meeting to a CCAP meeting
in
Washington. Then Bill Kircher called him and wants to talk to him. Wants to talk to him about the boycott, I suppose. Because he's worried about the boycott. I don't know what he's going to talk about. But, Dolores is coming down to talk to him, and so is Andy. But, that doesn't mean anything.
Well,
it doesn't mean that we have to, we don't have to agree with what they talk about. What we have to do is we have to crack down on some of the people who don't want to leave the lane and get them out of the strike, so we can use that money to get other families who are willing to go. And we have other families, not in the strike, but farm workers who are, you know, members, and you know who they are. Well, you know, they're people who live in other cities who are really gung-ho and they want to do these things, but we haven't got the money to if we take on, say, 20 more new families, and we keep what we got now, we're in trouble. They were just barely keeping our above water.
How many families are there in all at the present time?
Well, first of all,
I don't know. I've been away for 4 months, you know. I'm just trying to find out what the expenses are, and a lot of things, I don't know.
I think before I forget this, I've had this in mind that now that the slack is going to be off and the grape, I think all boycotters over there should turn to now trying to make some money for you know, while they're over there. I mean, because there's going to be a slack of maybe 2-3 months without grape over there, and that's when they should go out and start making that money that one they most of them like to make to send to the Leno. And
well, we have problems there. You know, there has been poor control in some cases in that too.
Well,
people bought a car. You know that?
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
Pete bought a car.
Mm-hmm.
Change of car. Tony didn't know. So
oh, yes, he did. I mean,
he said
he called Tony, so I don't know if he knows.
Tony said, no, he didn't. I said, with his permission, he said, no. You know, it's interesting.
Well, how can he change a car when it's under the union?
Well, see, this is the real problem. The real problem is that, you know what the real problem is? In order to shape it, see, we've been running a model union, and it runs that way only for those who want to work, and those who want to work are doing their share plus. But those who don't want to work, it doesn't run that way.
Well, I understand he would have bought a car anyway if he would just asked, you know. But you know.
So those that don't want to work, you know, knock down those that want to work because there is this. After a while, you know, people get to say, look, I'm not working, this guy's not moving. As we already have. And we have complaints from some of the boycotters, and rightly so. So,
well, in the Coachella Valley, some of the people had been on the boycott, you know, came up to me and said, you know, just started telling me everything that had happened to them, like in, you know, about, I think this was in Buffalo or Philadelphia or something like that, you know, and this and that and the other and all these things, you know. And
well, we're an exclusive club. We took in 80 families in, out of the Jimara strike on August the 3rd of 67. You know how many families we got left? Six. We ran them out. They didn't just go by accident. We are an exclusive club. We ran them out. We brought about 22 people from Coachella, and we ran them out. The second day over at the seminary, our wives, you know, began to accuse them, you know, of having an affair with some of their husbands, you know. I should at that point, you know, just send all the wives home. I spoke very strongly, but I should even be more, you know, just stop the whole convention and say, we're not moving until you cut that nonsense out. See, we're exclusive. We throw people out. We get exclusive. And I know where these things are coming in. You know, I fail to move against it, because once you move against one of these things, then it'll be then you move against the other one. And if it's that's the first step of the real dictatorship, you know. Benevolent dictatorship. No organization runs this way. You don't run it. You don't win a fight.
It's always a core in every institution.
You don't win a fight. All of you might as well know, I had a meeting with the officers today, and we spent 5 hours. And there's deep resentment against what they call the inner group. That's what they call the inner group, or all those guys who work with me, which means all of you. They're resentful there. And so I said, well, I'm going to be very truthful. I said, the union lives 24 hours. I'm going to put this in the tape, because we're going to have a meeting. We're going to have a confrontation with them and with us, you know. And I want to put everything up, you know. So you guys prepare yourselves to speak. You want to speak about Larry or Tony, for or against, or how they do and what they don't do. It should be, you know, we're going to clear it once and for all. So what happened was that they got their faces pushed out of shape, you know, because they got this inner group, right? So I said, well, what's the problem? Well, they got too much power. I said, well, what do you mean by power? Well, they do and undo things. And I said, well, I said, you know, you have to understand that the union lives 24 hours a day. The union doesn't go to sleep like we do. The union doesn't go to the show. The union doesn't go to play to gamble. The union doesn't go to Stockton every week. I was saying things. The union doesn't have everything that fitted each and every one there, you know. I was saying purposely, so I want to be really truthful. I said, the union stops. I'm the responsible officer. You know, when it comes to administration, I have responsibility. Who do you think impresses me? I said, people like Jim Drake and Marion, who say hate with a passion. I said, and Lee Wolf, who say don't like. And I went down the line and said, all the guys, I said, impress me because they do one thing, they work and they work hard. And if we didn't have them there, we'd be lost, you know. He said, well, we don't count. I said, you don't count because leadership is not transferable. You don't transfer leadership. I found that out many years ago. You make your place. I think you make your place in the union by hard work. Because I decide. I have that one prerogative to decide who makes it, you know. And to me, the guy that produces makes it. If he doesn't produce, you know, I'm sorry. I just don't want to have this company. I just don't. It's a fight, you know, that we're in. And so anyway, you know, there's this estrangement, you know. There's this deep feeling. So I said, I said, you want to let the, I said, as far as I'm concerned, these people who came have nothing in it, you know, except giving themselves to it, because they're not farm workers. I said, they're not going to get, they're just putting their heart into it. When you build the union, you're going to kick them out. So what, you know, what's the problem? you know, you don't want, no longer need them, you're going to kick them out with me. So why, you know, why don't you let us continue the job since you can't do it? You're unwilling to do a lot of the things. So they said, well, no, I've never. So I said, look, if Jim Brick asks me to do something, I said, I can go home and I know it's going to get done. It's going to get done, I said. If I tell Leroy to do something, it's going to get done. If I tell Mary to do something, and I mentioned you and the others, I said, I can go home and I know it's going to be done. I said, now, if I tell you to do something, it's not going to be done. You won't obey my orders. I said, because I've already tried it out. And so the reason I don't give you any orders is because you won't obey me. And you're an officer, and I don't want to get in any fights with you. I said, for instance, and I said, so Larry said, well, I've always obeyed you. I said, no, you haven't. I said, I sent you to boycott in St. Louis. You came back, you wouldn't stay in St. Louis. You flew back, and you wouldn't stay in St. Louis. I tried to get you out on the boycott, and you gave me all kinds of reasons why you couldn't go, and you didn't go. You know, now it's the 20s, well, I obey you. I said, you don't obey me. But I've told you not to do things, and you've done them, you know. I said, and this is how the people obey. And if I take their counsel, because, you know, it's a give and take. And then they said, well, I said, you don't think that I write them? You don't think that I have fights with Leroy and Mary? You don't think that I tell them off? See, before we can do anything on manpower, we gotta really get this thing. They're very, very threatened.
See, this is exactly the same thing you told them in that meeting in April. Exactly the same
very
thing.
Threatened.
And I didn't do any good overall.
I said, why? Like, for instance, I selected Marion to be on the committee, on the supervisor from the audit committee, and they objected to her. And I was, so I, the way I got her in, I said, you're afraid of her. Well, she runs over close fingers. And so I said, look, you're a grown-up man. If you haven't got the, and I told him to stand up to a woman, then she should step on you, she should shit on you. I said, and I'll hold her, I'll help her, I'll give her, you know, I'll just applaud her for doing that. But you just can't sit there, you're not babies anymore, you're grown-up men and you're leaders and you gotta, you know. And so I finally said, the reason you're not doing it, you're not cutting the mustard. You're not putting in the hours, you're not. See, there's no respect for you because you don't do the work. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to be very truthful. You don't cut the mustard. You don't do the work. You don't stay up late at hours. You don't want to sacrifice. You want to run in a new car. I said, all these things. I said, people see these things and they're not getting impressed. You don't want to stay in the office. You don't want to make decisions. You know, I said, all these things accumulate. We had a very long, and I took them on, and I said, and then they said that there was a one-man union. I said, yes, that's true. So if I leave, I bet you that most of the volunteers working with me would leave. I said, they're here mostly because of me. I said, this is not the first time. I said, this is my problem. I live with this, but everywhere I go, when I build a union, a group, this happens. When I was in CSO, I was just an organizer, and the people that I worked with didn't give a damn about the officers over there. If I said something, they did it. You know, that was just that kind of loyalty. You know, and I told them, I said, when I came to the valley, man, I have to build loyalty because we needed loyalty. And I said, that's the way I work. I build loyalty, but the way I do it is I try to do more than anybody else when I can. You know, just work and then appreciate. I said, you can't have it both ways. So anyway, it's a serious problem. The question about membership, and I said no. I said everybody's a member. Well, we wanted to do that, you know. Well, they didn't want some of the people to be members. They objected. Like Mary. Mary's not a farm worker. And I said Mary's not a farm worker. She's done more than me. I said. I'm able to say she's done more than most farm workers in the union. And I'm able to say she's done more than most of us as officers in the union. And I said, Marion has never said no to an assignment. However shitty it may be, she goes out and gets it done. I said, oh, I know she runs over people. And I said, you know. I said, so we got Manuel, which you don't like, because Manuel comes in and tells you a lot of things that I wouldn't, because I'm not that truthful, I couldn't tell you. I said, maybe you don't like Richard, and then you don't like, and I went around all these guys. So, so I mean, something wrong, you know. I said, why do you hate Leroy so much? Marion, you know. And so I told him, I think you're threatened very much, and so I think that what we ought to do is either, I said, I can do one thing, just leave, and you can have your organization. So then I'm going to do that. I wasn't, my job was to come and build an organization, and then once it's built, and once I think it's on its own, then I leave, you know. This is, I'm not, why should I stay here and put up with this nonsense when there's a lot of people that need help? And so, you know, so said, I said, as soon as we get a charter, we got the Lango Striker, try to get a charter, have the election, and then you have your, you know, turn the union over to whomever people want to elect, and then I'll go organize workers, but I don't want this part of this thing. I said, it's only one life, and it's very short, and I can do a lot, I want to do a lot of things without having to go through this kind of thing. But see, I maintain that we're going to have the roughest union that ever existed in this country because the opposition determines what kind of union you have. I think if you, for instance, if you're in an industry, if the employers you're fighting are pretty corrupt, somehow that translates to the union. I say this. Not by any deep study, but things that I've seen. And we're at a crossroads with the union. No one, there's only one officer that agrees with Mr. Lawrence. You know, they don't read, they don't understand what's going on around the world, they don't understand what's going on right in Delano. You know, incompatibility, you know, it's so marked, you know. And yet the human beings, and you try to give them their place, you try to deal with them in those spaces, and try to do the best you can so that they respect it. And the only thing I ask in exchange is that they respect some of the other people. So I told them, I said, if you take these guys that are helping us, now if you run them off, because I'm not going to run them off, but if you run them off, I said, might as well just get rid of me too, because we're not going to get it done. You're not going to do it. You're not willing to put that out. You're not willing to do the things that have to be done. And so it's kind of a sad commentary, you know. And they have a right to be threatened. Well, they say there's a lot of power. That Jim Drake has a lot of power. That Leroy has a lot of power. And I said, the only problem he has is to work his head off. That's the only problem he has. And then because the vacuum, you know, there's a vacuum there, it's got to be filled, and it gets filled by, I said, then I gave him example after, I was prepared for the whole example after example of how the things, what happens, you know. Yeah, these examples, you know, that are so, and that's why we can't, we've got so much dead wood. We've got when I went down the list, you know, and everybody there defended everybody else. Like I defended this group, and I defended one. I said, look, so-and-so is not working. I said, I know he's not working. I said, I know he's been living off of the union for a year, for 2 years. He won't pick it, you know. I said, and then so he got up and he defended him. I said, it's not true. I said, I know. I said, I've had nothing but, I've watched his people, I didn't see for me. So, the only way it can be solved is through you know how they solve these things? It's through a confrontation. Mm-hmm. In a confrontation, I can beat them, you know. I can beat them because they haven't been around organizations. They don't know how to stab each other, you know, and I know how to do it because I've been stabbed. But once you do that, so you do it to save the union, and then any time there's opposition developing, boom, you get it because, well, you want to save the union. And I did it. I've done it twice now, and I don't want to do it again. Even if it means that you can go to hell. I got rid of a couple of guys because I was convinced that, you know, that was the problem. What I'm trying to say is that while you guys are going to have to take, you know, do the job and then fight, you've got to fight to have the right to work. I told him, I said, everybody in this union has been here except that the ones that come, like, Well, like the 3 girls that came from ENIAC just now, and I said, well, we don't know about them, but the ones that come live here, and I said, they've got as much right as you have, and as I have. And I said, we should, but I got them to agree to give everybody a membership, and everybody to talk, and I said, there's no more volunteers. There's no more volunteers, we're all together. And I even agreed to say, I'll make any changes you want to tell me. I said, provided that you're willing to accept. So I told her, if you want to accept your real job, your real role as an assistant, then you have to take Jim's job. And that means that I'm going to be on you, brother, day and night. And that means if something doesn't get done, you're going to hear from me. I said, you don't know how hard I am to work with. Because see, I said, I treat you differently because you're officers. So, it involves everyone in this room. Everyone. I didn't say anything about Chris, but you know, it's a very sad thing here with people helping us, and then you know we get this. Unless I'm very mistaken, I don't think any one of you are here because of the great power and glory you're going to get out of it.
I'm
sure you know.
Do you think I'm here for my health?
Well, I mean, you, I excluded you. I'm talking about.
Oh,
you.
I see.
But that's a very frightening kind of thing, you know, because what it means is that we're turning into a we're eating ourselves up. Sad. And that's why we're locked. You know, we're locked in the things that I wanted to do 2 years ago, last year. And we're locked into. Filipinos are 80 years old. Stay in the hallway.
You want to know whether we should come in or not?
Yeah, sure. They're in the hall, you know. They can't work. We've had one of them died out in the picket line. I raised all kinds of hell, you know. The guy was sick, you know, he came out of the picket line, had a heart attack, and he died. And I said, why the hell do you send this man out to picket? Well, because, see, they're not willing to understand that there are some old people who can't work as well as others. And then they let them stay in the hall. Everybody sees them, they're coughing, you know, they're 70, 80 years old. Something must be done about those men, you know, retire them, do something. It's not being done, you know. They're going to use discrimination against the Filipinos. As I sit here, it's going to be used as a gimmick. As I sit here, it's going to be used as a gimmick. I know it's going to be used. The moment I begin to move, everything is going to be used. That's how discrimination starts. You know, that's how it's used. I don't know. Certainly, all of us have a problem. My biggest problem is that I have nothing in common with them. I don't. Get in a car. No, I'm even ashamed to admit this. I get in a car. And we drive, you know, and I can't talk to them because they talk about things that I don't want to hear. They talk about, they'll talk about the strike, but they talk about other things. I don't want to hear about these things, about, when they used to make a lot of money, you know, the material things. To me, if it's not the cause, and I don't want to talk about it, or something, you know, we don't read the same books. You know, we don't watch the same. We don't share the same. It's and now Dolores is different. It's an entirely different matter. There, you know, I told him, I said, I don't feel frank with you. With Dolores, I can tell her off today, and we get into big fights. But she'll never hate me. And I'll never hate. I mean, we're true about these things. And I said, I do the same thing with Meredith, and I do the same thing with Leroy. You may not hear me. And I do the same thing with Manuel, but I'm not doing it where you're going to hear me, but I do it. And I said, but I don't do it with you because I know that if I did it with you, you'd get mad at me. And I said, oh, you already, I didn't do it because you already are mad at me. And I told one, you get very sore and very hurt because I get a lot of publicity. I said, it's not my fault. I don't want it that way. Every time they say Cesar Chavez Union, you know, I said, it cuts you inside. I said, you know, I'm sorry, we wouldn't do that. But I do it. And I said, if I leave, somebody else is going to take the place. And then I told the other one, I said, you're not willing to sacrifice the whole, like the rest of us sacrifice. You're not willing to go at it without a paycheck. And I said, people know these things. And the other one said, you're not willing to leave because you've got property, you've got rentals, you've got, you know. I said, so there's all these things that are incompatible, that are very difficult to deal with. And before we deal with the boycott, Jim, this is the main thing. This is why we're here. And I told myself, I said, he gives an assignment, he comes back without our permission, we should kill him. I said, this has happened, we haven't done it, but we've got to do it. And we say, look, you were asked to be in a boycott, you came back, then we can throw him out of the union. He's got a right to be in the union. But as far as the union paying, you go work now. Because, you know, we can't win a strike. So the money we're using with you will recruit a new family. And then, see, this way we keep the blood in, you know.
So it's like, you know, one feeling I've had, you know, since I've been in here, and since I'm relatively new, maybe I can make the observation, you know, as I've traveled through, you know, I keep thinking, now, gee, you know, gosh, isn't the union large enough to, that they can find, you know, enough talent to put into more cities? You know, I keep thinking that, you know, it seems that we just have a few people scattered around, you know, is that the union, you know, and then so I guess...
That's a voluntary union, that's, you know how we got some of the guys to go? Some voluntary, like Marcos, and Eliseo and those guys are beautiful guys. They go any place.
Manuel Vasquez.
Kathy and the people in the migrant ministry and so on. But there were some that we got to go. You know how we got them to go? I play no political trick. I got Joe Cerda, who's also gone for to go, and I got Marcos, and I got Eliseo. I said, okay, look, here's the problem. There's five guys here who won't go. And I said, it's up to you to make them go. And you can do it a lot better than I can. So one man said, take us to Congress. We don't want you to go to the boycott or get the hell out of the strike. And boys, well, no, we're not going to go. But they went. They went, you know, enforcing the phone. But there's a lot of them that won't go. A lot of them won't take it. They won't take it. Well, they went, look, the other day, they wouldn't go over because it was past 5 o'clock to unload a truckload of food.
I've been to a rough one the other unions.
No, it's and because it's a voluntary union, brother, please do it. I don't want to do it. Okay, brother, thank you. We don't
demand it to be done, you know.
And I can't demand it to be done because...
It all comes with a...
Yeah. If I demand it to be done, that becomes a political fight. Then we get into a real fight. All kinds of things have come up. That money has been absorbed. A lot of money. Figure about $15,000 that could be released so we could put more families in the boycott. And we've been there for 2 years, and we can't move. That's what the other unions are in. The unions are, you know, they're caught in this political thing. You know, they like Congress, like the church. I guess it's, you know, favors. You know, and you're locked in like this. In order to break it up, you've got to cut it open. And cut it open means you have an all-out political war inside the union while the fight's going on, while the other fight's going on as well. But I'm telling you this because I'm not going to defend you anymore. You have to defend yourself. You should not take any crap from anyone. You shouldn't. If you take it, then you deserve it. I mean, you should stand up to them. So, God damn it, I'm doing my work, and I'm worth as much as anybody spending what I do. And this business, you know, a farm worker doesn't go. It's never gone, you know. And as a farm worker, you know, I won't even...
I urge you to get up early in the morning and start running, train yourself.
No, it's
fighting boxing gloves and had a mutual discussion, you know, in the ring.
Now, I was talking about sensitivity training programs, you know, I can think of all these things, how to deal with it. But when you deal with power, you know, and you know, those things. You know, I can love somebody who loves me back, but man, if I want the power that guy has, you know, how can I love him?
Caesar, maybe I'm, you know, don't know enough about what's going on, but it seems to me like we, you know, you say these things and then we go right on not really demanding. I mean, like the people who go to football games instead of, you know, coming to the meetings and stuff. Are we going to say we include these people and accept it, or are we going to say we don't include them but go right on including them? That's what I don't know.
Well, you know, people who go to the movies, you know, they want to come to meetings, or people who want to take it, you know, want to have their own. All of us want to have our own thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But and then, you know, all of us should. But the officers should be up in front leading, you know. Oh, I also told them, I said, if we have an election, I said, I think that at least 50% would be casualties. I think at least 50% of us would not make an election either. So we've never been elected by the entire new membership. And then so some said, oh, I don't care. Listen, try me. I said, no, man. Doesn't frighten me either. I'm saying that you just wouldn't make. We're locked. And we got to burst out of that. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to get all of them, all of the so-called inner group, everybody, and we're just going to have it out. Just lay it on the table, you know. This has been buried too long, and if we don't lay it on the table, it's just going to explode. It's going to become bigger in all of us.
We're going to work with each other.
Just lay it on the table and just say, just, you know, be frank.
Well, good, very good, frank. Good fellow, but he got knifed in the back. And,
I don't understand these things. To me, this is the worst thing I could have. I could, you know, I thrive on fighting the growers and the opposition. And I love it, you know. To me, I don't sleep 1 minute. I don't lose a minute of sleep, you know, on that other struggle. It just doesn't bother me a bit. I love it. This other thing it does. It keeps me awake at night. Then, of course, the other thing is that we have our own problem. You know, we have my big problem, and I understand is that if somebody doesn't hustle the way I like them to hustle, I stay off of them, away from them. I can't, you know, I make that way. If they don't work hard, I just can't lose my time. I don't want to spend any time with them. I want to get over to somebody who's doing some work. It's one of my, I really like it, you know. And I don't think I want to change it either. Like, if I try to change it, then I have to change myself. It means I have to not do work myself, you know, or to be able to live with someone who's going in first gear. I don't want to do that here. Today became very apparent. It was very, very clear. See, there's two views, two very, very divergent views as to what the union is and what it ought to be. And what it not ought to be. And
well, we shouldn't have no officers.
I think one of the things is we have to get together and find out really, you know, really why. I told them, I said, everything you told me is going to be told to them. And I'm not going to be any sick, because I'm not going to be, you know, untruthful. I'm going to just say it as I see it. And then I want you to come and defend yourself. And then I'm going to tell them that they also have to go in and
who talked about me, Tom?
I don't talk about you.
You're lying.
Come on.
You're not lying.
Every one of them.
Well, probably.
They would like to talk about me, but they don't.
No, they don't.
They would like to.
But we gotta have somehow meet. somebody somehow get together and meet this, this thing, because before it gets their officers, they're some were elected a long time ago, like I was elected a long time ago. We're locked into a, we opened up in a convention to elect new officers, to elect.
That reminds me, I'm a Secretary of Treasury, you pulled me out, nobody pulled me out yet.
You got the money?
I can sure get it, buddy.
You got the money?
I can sure get it.
We open it up in a convention right now, we open up a hornet's nest.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and you know, all we want is just be able to work together until we get this thing through and get the union chartered, so it's a real union with a membership, and then they can from membership from the great workers, they can get enough money so at evening they don't get any more money, they can stay in business. And then I saw this, then I'll turn it over to the workers. What I may want to just do is ask them to call them to resign. And I'll set the example by resigning myself. See how many will do that. It doesn't mean that we get a new set of officers, it's going to be the same thing. It doesn't mean that. We tried that in CSO, you know, and so you go and get a new set of officers, and you can all reduce it to one thing. If anyone resents my leadership, you know, or anybody's leadership, then that person is going to be away, you know. If you don't resent my leadership, then you're going to sort of rivetate, you know. That's how simple it is. That's how simple it is. It, you know, for instance, those who don't not resent my leadership, you know, it just, that's how it works. And those who do, and you know who they are, I know who they are. No matter what you do, you know. I spent 6 months working with one of them, being specially nice, you know, all this. It was a project that I had on, like, you know, like after hours project. Something goes wrong, I guess, somewhere.
It's all men for one thing, isn't it?
Some women too. I don't understand, you know, this hatred of, against Leroy. God, you know, I blind. Blind, you know, I mean, oh, disagreement's fine. I don't mind disagreements and arguments and, you know, and to be told I'm wrong and to show, and I don't care about that. That's not that important. And out of all the fights that we have with the Lord winds up winning 90%. See, that's okay. What's bad is to hate people for no apparent reason, you know, just because there's jealousy. And then not be able to say it, you know. But it goes, it's in the air, you know, you hate someone. And it's sad, you know, how they hate you. And, you know, tomorrow they hate somebody else. And then, you know, I couldn't get him before I really, except he had a lot of power. And I said, you know, he's a human being. He's been here a long time. He has faults, but not nearly as many faults as I have, or as you have, I'm sure. But, you know, I think you have to agree that we have to.
A lot of them feel like I think their resentment for Leroy stems back to last spring, and I don't think they've reevaluated it since then, because some of them feel that you and he planned the whole fast as a publicity gimmick, you know, and they've never gotten over that little problem that existed then.
I told them, I told them something that you know, really, I had to tell them. I said, look, I said, who's scared for me during my illness? And, you know, really, you know, who has cared for me during my illness? And I said, let's start talking. He said, have you? No. Have you? No. Have you? No. As a brother officer, if you were real, I'd be right there. When I told him, when you were real, I visited you every damn day that you were real. I made a point. I said, so who, you know, you even opposed the idea of having somebody, when the threats were being made, there was one of them that was set against sending any guards. Oh, you don't have to send any guards who are guarding you. Like, what the hell is, you know? I said, how in the world, you know, do you, can you make me believe that you really, you know, that these other people who work with me, you know, are doing it for some, they don't want to care for me. Then he said, I said, you truly don't give a damn. I said, not that I want you to, but I'm just pointing out some facts. You truly don't give a damn. In fact, I said, you probably be a lot better off if I weren't here. I said, this is the truth, and it's been demonstrated. How many visits did I have from you? How many times did you come to see me? How many times did you check with me? You stay away from me unless I called you. How many times did you carry out orders with, you know? It's there, you know. It's right there. And so I said, you know, the ones that cared, the ones that really went out of their way, they didn't have to do it, are the same guys you don't like. So I said, there must be something very, very wrong. And for one of them for 5 hours. It's a mess. And 200 pairs of stockings, you know, went from the Greyhound station to the Pelpino Hall and got lost. 200.
They had feet in them.
Huh?
They really had feet in them.
Yeah. You know, when I find out who did that, I'm going to get them out of the union. If it means whatever it means, the thing, you should be thrown out of the union.
He might have borrowed it.
Huh?
He might have borrowed it.
This Christmas presents thing, I hope we never have another Christmas thing. You know, people fighting, scratching, fighting. I never in my life, even when I work at it, as many Christmas presents as I did for my kids. And they didn't either, you know. And they were clawing each other, literally clawing each other for presents. What a sad, sad thing, you know. That just shows it just shows what kind of union we're in. How do we deal with that? And you know, that's a striker. We send broken down presents and the second hand, the used presents to all of the other members outside. I said, get them out here before I go next to them. Just get them out. And we got about maybe 200 families presents, and they are so grateful to them. I think I've been pizza, nothing. I've been getting letters, you know, grateful because they got that. And here we have, you know, everything. The rent has never been late, or rather, it's been paid off sometimes late. They've never suffered. We haven't really suffered in stress. Maybe in the beginning, the first 3 months or so, but we have. We've had, you know, even more, I guess. Sure, if we work in the field, we'd have less than what we have in the strike. this, the Filipinos get more. No, the Mexicans get more. And we can't do anything about the boycott until that thing is settled. I try to say, look, there's about 10 men that I think should be asked to leave the union because they're not producing. They're sitting around and they're not doing anything. They should be asked to leave the strike, not the union. And go work, or put them on welfare, or if they're ill, then put them on unemployment or on disability or something, so we can take that money and then go and get another family to bring into the strike. So that's how we can get. But we haven't got the money. And we can sit here and plan all night, you know, it comes basically down to manpower, and the manpower, we're stifled with that manpower.
What are the mechanics for, let's say, for example, instituting the compulsory attendance of union meetings? Has that been tried?
They are compulsory.
They're compulsory.
If you don't attend, you lose your $5. That's a matter of registering. It's never been tried in any way.
I've tried all things. I've tried, for instance, you give a $5 on Friday night, so these people will come, you know. And don't disregard it. See, what happens on the other side, when I give an order here, it's not disregarded. If it's disregarded, I come by and say, well, disregard the order. And I feel free that they're not going to hate me because I went and I, you know. But on that side, I can't say anything because I do. They are not, see, they're not, they won't take it, they get hurt.
Well,
very hurt.
Another problem is sometimes if you give an order and carrying out the order depends upon having
some backing from another point, then you get caught between the two situations. I mean, part of the orders involve getting money or not spending money. And that means you got to have the treasure with you.
Well, you know, another thing that I think it is, too, is that the people who are crabbing are the ones that love Caesar more than they love their farm workers. Like Helen pointed this up once. She said, Caesar and Dolores will fight like cats and dogs, and they may hate each other for a whole 24 hours, but Dolores loves the farm workers so much that nothing is going to cut her out of this union because she loves the farm workers. And the people who are bitching now are the ones that want to be close to Caesar more than they want to really help the farm workers.
I don't think that's probably part of it now. They want some people not to be close to me. That's what they want.
So they can be close to you.
Okay. No, but it's because they've interpreted being close to you as equal in power. I mean, you know, it's kind of a, you know, because I've seen this in other organizations, you know, where there's a charismatic leader. You know, there are members in that organization that envy those that are closer to that charismatic leader, you know, by virtue of work or whatever it may be. But they interpret being close to the leader as power, yet they're not willing to do the things necessary to get close.
That's right. In this case, being close to them means really producing. See, we had a whole session of 3 days meetings, and I said, all right, you want to be in the inner circle, you call it, come in. There's only one ticket you produce. You know how many volunteers I got?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of them said, all right, we'll do it. You know how many? One. There's one person who really wants to work, and that's who you want. Who'll come down the house, you know, and do extra. No, 5 o'clock? We can't...
Why the hell they close it off at noon Saturday?
They're coming off and close at noon on Saturday, and I keep
so
my operation going on Saturday all day, and there's conflict, you know. People get mad. They say, how come they go at noon? And they, you know, we have some people who watch at 5 o'clock, boom, they leave, you know. So, in you know, I'm in your own. They have no right to leadership and the power. They don't have it because they won't be able to do it. They can't cut the mustard if they work it that way. I might be wrong, but
that's what leadership's all about.
That's what it is. That's what it is. It's just being able to put it out, you know, and being able to stay with it. Yeah. And it's kind of, I've never been able to put it together because in order to put it together I've got to become a real bastard more than I am now, you know. I just go around and crack the whip and get people out of the union, and in other words, I got to pull a Joseph Stalin, you know, to really get it. And I don't think I want to do that. By the time I do that, then I'll be a different man, and then I'll do it again for some other reason, more and more and more, you know. What I'd like to do is just leave the organization. I've had so many disappointments, you know. It's been one after the other, organized great things, you know, in my life, and they all come down to the same thing. Obviously, I do a horrible job doing it, you know. If I did a better job, we wouldn't have this thing. But, boy, the moment that leadership develops and that struggle starts, it's time to leave. So we're going to talk about manpower. We need manpower to be able to put the boycott over. That means that we got to scratch and fight and bite and kick and politics, it means, oh God, it means all kinds of things to get them to leave or to get them out of the strike so we can get somebody else to replace them. That's what it means. And it means that some people in power are going to defend somebody because they're friends or because... You know, I don't have any friends. No, not that way, you know. I'm single-minded, one-track-minded. We came here, I came with the idea of building a union for workers. That's what I intend to do, you know. And then I get caught in this, and I'm having great difficulty trying to break out of, trying to do what I have, what has to be done. Either, you know, move out and let somebody else take over that'll do it, or do it myself. so we can. Or maybe, maybe we can get together. Well, we tried it, it hasn't worked. Maybe we can just get together and try and love each other again. And you know, maybe, you know, start from there again. But I that doesn't work. It never has worked in the past.
I think, I mean, for sure, you've got to, you're going to have to, you said that if you could make some changes, get rid of deadwood, or whatever you want to call it, could release $15,000. Is that a year? Or
no, a month.
A month?
At least a year.
I don't know.
There's some people in the Delano right now that aren't doing hardly anything, that are burning up over $200 in gas.
$200
in gas.
I would put an end to that because
I can't. I
wouldn't. I would put an end like that, just like that, because it's not fair to the other people that really need this help. If somebody's doing this, it's very wrong, and I would put an end to it. I don't care when the hell it was.
You should take their credit card from them, let them pay in their own for a while.
Over the holidays, I said, Joe, do me a favor, spot those people burning a lot of gas, and he did. And it was one car that filled up every day. And that same car, on New Year's Day, filled twice. And it takes 18 gallons or 20 gallons. And they don't want regular, they want the best. And when they get oil, it's an old clunker, they want the best. A guy pulled in the other day with an old beat-up car, one of the Strikers. He won't take the cheap oil. It burns a quarter every 300 miles. He wants the best oil. We're in trouble.
Oh, God.
We're in trouble anymore. See, to me, those things, I don't have a car. I don't have a car just so that in hope that I could teach some of the other people that that they should be satisfied if they have a clunker instead of a new car.
Now, is it possible to oh, hell.
Why don't we
some kind of a rationing principle,
You know how
Menace, you know why we're laughing?
Yeah.
Because this has happened about 12 times.
Not this way,
not with the board, but with talking about rationing.
Let me tell you what happens.
We haven't got the
You ration that thing, on gas and telephone bills and all this. And then the guys that are doing nothing, then they relate to the guy that's working and says, well, look, how much gas he's spending, see? But he don't say how much he's working. And you can't ration things like that, everybody equal the same, because there's people that are working naturally got to spend more.
Okay.
See, and then the people that are not working want to spend, say, well, how come he's getting it? See? It's who laid first, the egg? Who was first here, the chicken or the egg? Same damn thing. And now, it seems like somebody's going to say, this way is going to be, I don't give a hell if he's spending $10,000, you just spend one penny, that's all you're going to spend. Why? Because that's all you're worth. The hell with it.
Yeah, you get rid of a lot of debt with that.
Let's face it.
How can you start
being equal with people that don't work and people
then,
that work?
But then you've got this other problem.
So you got the other.
No? That's what I'm trying to say, So what I think here is that you just gotta put it down. Nobody else. There's no officer. The officers don't mean nothing. To me, they don't. Really. When I want something, I make them give it to me, right? I made him open an office today. I said, you open that damn office. What do you mean 12 o'clock? Open that goddamn office, because I want to get it. Or give me the damn key and get out of here. They open the office and wait until I finish doing my business. You have to. So what am I supposed to do? See what I mean?
They want to have a building finished, on the 40 acres.
It's just got to be somebody that says what's going to be done. That's all.
I said, we can't finish a building for a number of reasons. But I said, first of all, the big reason is that we haven't got the manpower. Secondly, we haven't got the money. I said, it would take from $30,000 to $40,000 to finish the building. That means finish the building plus just the bare expenses, like the telephone installation, the coolers, the heaters, and all these things, And we still won't be furnished. And I said, we haven't got the reserve. I said, what about Arizona? We gotta go fake the strike in Arizona. We gotta go back to Coachella. I said, these are things that go in hand in hand with the boycott. You can't leave the people with the boycott out there and then open up the Arizona thing, you know, so they can buy Arizona grapes too. They'll be selling Arizona grapes the rest of the year. You know, this is part of the. You know, you have to go to Arizona and take the strikes. So there's no grapes, no Arizona grapes either. They're on strike now. So then it makes it easy for the people on the boycott. Yeah, they're made. Yeah. That can be done very inexpensively, and it can be done in a couple of weeks. But we've got Coachella, which we don't know if we're going to go back because we haven't got the money.
And that's a rough.
And then they've got injunctions up our ears, you know, and the borders right there, and oh, God. But anyway. There's all these things, and we don't have, you know, the personnel. You know where we've had good luck? I anticipated this, and so we earned the grant and the money from the from that trip that I thought was really, remember that very cold December trip to Washington, and I came back and feel nothing worked, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the Migrant Ministry got some money, and we've been able to get some people, and no problem with it. You know, there's a willingness to work together. And here, you know, it's two organizations, really. Well, more or less it's one now, but there's no problem. It works well, you know, because people want to work and they're willing to forget about, you know, mistakes and so forth. No, but on the other end over there,
we know that the rules don't work. We know that what is expected can't really be demanded or enforced, because the people who don't produce have more time to find ways to evade whatever the demands and the rules are, and people who do produce don't have the time or the energy, their heart, to enforce the rules or to enforce the demands. So it isn't really the only alternative to find ways to feed more plus people, to move them and just keep working at that. How do we get more? How do we get more heart, more people with heart, you know, into the struggle? And whether or not other people are weeded out, how do we do that? And where do we get the resources to do that? And how do we better do that so that we're always the people with, you know, with guts for the struggle are overwhelming in numbers and in you know, capacity of those who don't?
Well, see, that's true. That's, you know. But first problem is the money. Second problem is that you can have 98% of the people here willing and 2% over here. That 2% who wants to not to work and to sabotage anything, that's an interesting fact to understand.
I know.
You know? That's why guerrillas are so effective, you know, in destroying establishments, because it's a small group that has, for whatever reason, it has tremendous impact, you know. But
Not yet fatal. And all what you're saying is the weeding out process might be fatal.
Oh, sure. The first.
Okay. So if the weeding out process is fatal, then really the only alternative is to do what we can to get more people.
Or quit.
Okay. Now, where our contracts are. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. How many contracts do we have now? About 10 or something like that. Okay. Now, in those areas. Now, is there any possibility? Are there, you know, like, for example, are there any people there that would be willing?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Okay. Now, can you do it? For example, have some of these people as volunteers. Now, we'll leave the resources aside for a moment. And for example, guarantee their seniority and so forth, so that they when they move out, they can move right back in. Now,
but that's one of the things that anybody who agrees. I mean. would you be willing to go another year and skip college another year if you could guarantee the seniority there? When school starts again, would you go past September?
That's interesting.
Well, I can extend my leave of absence.
3 years.
You know, I can just extend it and extend.
Well, we can't either. For them, we can extend the leave of absence for a certain period of time. But what you're suggesting is more than you're willing to. When it comes down to personal things, well, then you're asking people to leave their homes and their families, you know, and their job. And we're at, you know, when it really comes right down to it, there aren't that many people.
People, true revolutionaries, aren't that many. People who I can say get on the train, get in the plane, or hitchhiking, you want that job done. And we need more. These are the people that get. These are people. If they do, they're willing to do that. They're willing to do a lot of other things that must be done. My great dream was, you know, one day, you know, if we're strong enough. So, you know, San Francisco, we're out of the Delano strike. Why would we send 100 of our top guys to San Francisco and try to help those guys, you know, get that fight over with? Well, not to take it over, just to help them. Or why would we send 10 organizers to East LA? In other words, these things.
That would be fine. Just what's needed.
But the idea is, that if we put that into the union, once we got, we don't have anything to organize our farm workers. Once we have a little breathing spell, then it's our responsibility to go help other people that need help. In their own terms, not our terms, their terms. Mm-hmm. That's the most beautiful thing we could do, like these guys are helping us. That's how we could pay back.
But when you get little things like...
Only
small things that are bothering. I'll tell you, just I want to mention this as an example. Some people are very bothered by that, what do you call that worm thing you have over there? Just listen to this. They're very bothered because you have this little hole where you have some worms in it. This is just the type of mentality you're dealing with, you know. This is, I've heard it.
They're not bothered about, they know what they're bothered about?
No, I don't.
Let me tell you. I had, you won't believe this, for 16 long months, I tried to get the scraps out of the strike kitchen. The scraps. The strike kitchen is paid for by the union. The scraps. If anything, the scraps should belong to the union. You know I couldn't get it? To this day, I can't get the damn scraps.
It's going for the dog and scraps.
See, I want the scraps so I can raise my worms. So we don't have to have fertilizer and nitrates or anything for the 40 acres when we get going, you know. And besides this, you know, this is what keeps me from going nuts anyway when I see it. You know, I couldn't get it. You know what they gave me? They gave me potato peelings, eggshells, coffee, grounds.
You know. Oh, no.
That's good for the toast.
And then so one day I said, Marion, I said, you want to do a job for me? I said, whatever you have to do, short of violence, for today, get all the scraps. So, she went, you know, she had a whole thing. So we had one day we had meat. I'm not kidding you. This is the truth. This is the absolute truth. That's why they hate my. Yeah.
They also they're trying to make arrangements with Bounty. They want to rent him the big barn, you know, so he can throw his pigs and everything in there because it's the only thing that get him out of the cold, you know. The building, in other words, use the building as a stall, you know, for the cows and the pigs and all that, because...
No, that's because they want to use the building. They don't... See, we've got $20,000 in reserve. Anyone, if I got my little boy, you know, 8 years old, and I said, look, we got 20 cents here, and we're spending so much, you know, over here every month, he would be able to tell me, you know, or $20, and he's, you know, he'd say, oh, geez, well, we're in trouble, but I keep that as a reserve. The building would take 40... At least $40,000 to complete.